Dr. Montgomery, what would you say to a person who says, listen, I don't know if God exists or not? What would you tell them?
Well, I first want to make sure that the person is open-minded on the subject. Not vacant-minded, but open-minded. I want to be sure that the person is not an atheist, as a matter of fact. The person is an agnostic and willing, therefore, to consider evidence. There's no sense in wasting time with people who are atheists, that is, who are closed off to the existence of God. The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is foolishness to take that kind of closed-minded position. But it certainly isn't foolishness, especially in a secular age, if one looks out at this very, very complex and mysterious universe and wonders if there's a God. So, we pick up then from the point of wonder. Can this universe adequately be explained on its own ground? Answer, no. The universe is not self-explanatory. It is mysterious in the best sense of the word. Let's begin with anything, any single object or any person. Right? Begin with this book. Being one of my books, it's a particularly valuable place to start. Does this book explain itself? Certainly not. You're going to have to go beyond the book to something else. In fact, you're going to have to go to a lot of something else's. You're going to have to go to an author. Books don't appear without an author. They also don't get into the trade without a publisher, a printer, a distributor, paper manufacturers, and on and on and on. This object doesn't explain itself. It forces you to go beyond it to other things. Or take the person sitting next to you. That person does not explain himself or herself. You must at least go beyond that person to parents in order to explain that person. But then, of course, you're going to have to go to grandparents, and you're going to have to go to the chemistry and physics of the person and so on. The whole universe is made up of objects like the ones we've just been discussing, and persons. And the universe is the sum total of everything in it. So, if any individual element of the universe cannot explain itself. If you take them all together, you take them as a whole, spelled W-H-O-L-E, you do not have something that is self-explanatory. You have a gigantic amount of non-self-explanatory stuff. Philosophers call this contingency. What you get is a whale of a lot of contingency. And since the universe does not explain itself, you are obliged to go beyond it for an explanation. You must go from the contingent to something absolute that does not require further explanation, and that's God. So you must move from the universe beyond it to God.
Then you have people like Bertrand Russell who said, but, you know, where does God come from? And who caused God?
Yes, that's the next question asked. And a couple of things need to be seen about that. First of all, the nonsensical character of the question. It sounds like it's sensible, where did God come from? But it's only grammatically sensible. It's like the question, how many corners does a circle have? It's sensible grammatically, but if you know what a circle is, you know you can't ask about the corners of it. And if you know what you mean by God, and you mean by God that which is self-explanatory, you can't ask the question, where does he come from, or where does it come from, because that in itself implies that God isn't self-explanatory. Second thing about it is this. Let's say for the sake of argument that you're moving from the universe to God. Universe to God in order to explain it. But then you say, how do I explain God? And you say, well, you say, I'm going to have to explain him. Then you're going to have to go to a God to the second power to explain the God to the first power. That'll require a God to the third, fourth, fifth. It becomes an infinite series, ending up, in quotes, with God to the nth power. That simply means it's an infinite series. But if it's infinite, you've never explained God to the n minus 1. Because if the series has no end, there isn't any next to last. If you haven't explained God to the n minus 1, you haven't explained God to the n minus 2, minus 3, trump, 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 trump. Finally, you're back to the universe you were trying to explain to begin with. You would have done better listening to old Gomer Pyle reruns on television. This has accomplished absolutely nothing. You're going to have to stop this business at one of two points, either with the universe in which we find ourselves, or with God as the self-explanatory end of the series. Now, the only meaningful question in all of this is, which is the better place to stop? The atheist stops with the universe. The believer in God stops with the self-explanatory absolute. Which is better? Well, no question about this. You've got to stop here, because you admitted to begin with that everything in the universe that you come across can't explain itself. You can't then suddenly turn this universe into something self-explanatory. That's myth-making. It's turning the universe into God. It's making that which can't explain itself suddenly and magically explanatory. The Christian is not the myth maker. The atheist is the myth maker. The Christian takes the universe seriously, that it can't explain itself, and insists on going to a source of explanation which can.